You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our 10:30 a.m. service. This is our English service, and that good-looking guy right there is Justice. You want to encourage him? You can applaud him. That's okay. And that's not an easy job to do. Yeah, pray for him. He's doing his first year in Bible college, and that's always a challenge. So good. Thanks, buddy. We're doing a series, like Pastor Sam said. It's foreshadowed. This is leading up to Easter. It's a significant time on the Christian calendar every year. But if you are new, whether here in this room or online, you can know more about ICS by going to ics.church/connect. That's ics.church/connect, and you can learn more about us there. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving to the Lord. If you told me last year in March that this year we would still be in quarantine and lockdown, I probably would not have believed you. Because when they announced that, I thought, you know, it's probably going to last 2 weeks. And so I wasn't too worried. But after a month, and then that following month, the president announced that it's going to go for another month. And here we are, a year later. Like Pastor Sam said, I don't know if that's something we should be celebrating. Kevin was happy. But he said, no, next year is going to be 1 year anniversary. That's worrying. Because Metro Manila, we have the longest quarantine in the world. We made it again. We're on the record. But it's not exactly something that we should be proud of, you know, having the longest quarantine in the world. I would not have believed you if you told me last year that in 2021, March, we would still be in quarantine. 20 years from now, the babies that were born this year, I've got a nephew that was born in pandemic. You know, there's some babies here at ICS that were born. 20 years from now, if we told them, you know what, when you were born, the whole world was shut down, they would probably look at us funny and say, what's wrong with you? I don't believe that. Because I'm guessing after 20 years, you know, the world would probably be more of a freer place than it is right now. I mean, like many of us, last year, none of us have ever heard of the Spanish flu, right? But when the pandemic hit and they said, hey, it is now around the world, we're not going to be having lockdowns, then news outlets and everywhere you turn to, they were talking about the Spanish flu. This epidemic that took place at the turn of the century that actually shut down much of Europe. It didn't reach us here as much, didn't affect us as much, because global travel wasn't as prevalent. But because of global travel right now, man, it was just a couple of weeks for this pandemic to hit global proportions, and here we are right now. And in a lot of ways, you know, when it comes to a life of faith, that's how it is sometimes for us, right? You know, we receive truth, and some of us, because we were born into it, we don't think twice. We say, you know, my parents had that faith. Why are you a Christian? Because my parents are a Christian. And I didn't really think much more about that. But the truth is, we actually should try to find out. You know, just like people being born in the pandemic, there are some who still don't believe it in some parts of the world, individuals. But for many of us, especially those of us who had friends, maybe even relatives who were affected directly or infected by this virus, it's become very real. It's become very real to us. It's hard to convince those who haven't experienced that just the same. In a life of faith, it has to be the same thing. The more we learned about it as the doctors investigated and researched about coronavirus, we found out that yes, you could actually catch it. Yes, it is airborne. That's the reason why we're all wearing masks in this room and even face shields as well. And that, you know, you could possibly catch it through touch and touching surfaces that may have had it. So the more information we gained, the more knowledge and understanding we had, the greater capacity. First of all, you have a lot of respect for this kind of virus because it was one, very resistant and was very quick, right? A very fast-spreading virus. So a lot of people, a lot of scientists have a lot of respect for it, but at the same time, it makes you a bit more worry. It makes you take care, take extra care whenever we move around. That's why it took a while for us to actually start having live gatherings here at ICS because of the knowledge and the understanding we gained over time. The pursuit of knowledge and understanding strengthens our faith. It strengthens our belief. And that is true whether it is with regards to viruses or with regards to sickness and even faith, right? The more that we know, the more that we understand, the more strength and deeper understanding that we have of that faith. Peter even said this in 1 Peter. He writes, he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why does he say that? This is important even when it comes to faith. We can't just say, you know what, I believe it because it's just there. No. I have faith in Jesus Christ because I've actually spent time to think it through, to research it, to find out more about it. And here's the reason why I believe. Have you ever wondered that? For those of us who are maybe second or third generation Christians or born into it, have you ever thought about why you're a Christian, why you go to church, why you do the things that you do? Or no, we're a predominantly Christian nation, it's just what we do in the Philippines. But that is not the reality in the world anymore. We have to actually give a reason for why we believe what we believe. And Peter understood this in the first century because those were the similar questions that Christians were being asked then. We need today to be able to have a good response even in this time and in this season. Which brings us to Luke. So if you've been a Christian for a while and you own a Bible, you would have encountered Luke. If you haven't read all of the Bible, at least if you reach a table of contents, you would have seen a book there that says Luke. But he also wrote another book called the Book of Acts. This guy, a little background about him, he was a Christian in the first century. What's interesting about Luke is he was a Gentile, meaning he is an unbeliever. He is somebody who was not a Jew. This was a guy who was non-Jewish. A Gentile is anybody who is non-Jewish. And so that's his background. I can relate to him because I'm not a Jew. Another thing that we find out about Luke is that he is from the medical science field. He is a doctor by profession. In fact, Paul says that he is a beloved doctor in his letter, in the letter of Colossians. Luke also is Paul's friend. And finally, we find out that Luke wrote two volumes that's found in the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, which is one of the most detailed accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and the Book of Acts, which is the story of the beginnings of the church in the first century. So if you actually take into account the number of chapters that Luke wrote, both in the Gospel of Luke and in the Book of Acts, Luke would have written the majority of the New Testament if we remove Hebrews as one of those letters that Paul wrote. So that's an interesting background and fact about Luke. You say, what does this have to do with me? Again, he's an outsider. Luke is an outsider who became a follower of Jesus, who was a Jewish individual. So for me, that's always interesting how an outsider would end up becoming a follower of Jesus who was Jewish and would end up writing two books that will be included in our present Bible today, talking about him. He is the only non-Jewish author that we find in the New Testament. In fact, I believe the entire scriptures that we have today, the 66 books. So that's an interesting insight that we have. Now, why is this important? Because an outsider's perspective for me is important. I'm an outsider. If you talk about Jesus and we read the Bible, we say, well, those are Jews and they're insiders. Of course, they're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to promote Jesus. But this guy wasn't. All indications point that he is a Gentile. And he writes this letter for this particular perspective in mind, viewing it as an outsider. Why did he write it? Let's look into that passage right now. In the very first chapter of Luke, here is what Luke writes. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us." So these are things that have taken place. In the first century, he was still alive, and it was pretty much common knowledge that these things took place, that Jesus lived, that he was there, and all of those that have transpired happened while everybody else was living. "Just as they were handed down to us," verse 2, "by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word." So he's saying, hey, the things I'm going to write about, this is common knowledge. It's basically, you know, if I told you about the pandemic, it's happening right now, this is common knowledge. We hear about it every day. Nobody's in doubt. If you turn on the news, there's an update. Number of cases, vaccines, how it's spreading around the world, it's common knowledge right now. So Luke is saying here that, hey, what I'm going to write to you about is common knowledge. Everybody knows about this fact. When we talk about the pandemic, maybe 20 years later, 30 years later, that might be a bit different. They might say, okay, I'm not really sure. Did that really happen? Because there are people who ask those questions, right? I don't know if I'm going to believe you. Those that were born right now, who didn't experience it, or maybe will be born later on, who didn't experience it, they may have their doubts. Luke continues on. He says, "With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." So Luke, again, stating the fact that was already obvious. One, there's common knowledge about the life of Jesus, but here, what I want to do is to do my own investigation. I don't know, maybe Theophilus was one who asked him to do it. Now, a little background, who is Theophilus? Because he seems to be addressing this letter to him. At the same time, the second volume, the book of Acts, is also addressed to this same guy. Just looking at the name Theophilus tells us he's not Jewish. That's not a common Jewish name. Probably Roman Greek in background. And the root of his name is Theo, meaning God, right? Philos from the root word philo, which is knowledge or understanding. So this was a guy who loved to learn about God, right? He had a passion about God. His name actually reflects that. So he might have said, you know what? I want to know more about this. Scholars tell us that this guy was most likely a wealthy individual, because he was able to bankroll or to support Luke's research. Luke would have to research it, and this would require travel. This would require finances to hire scribes to write down everything that Luke was discovering. And so he was addressing it to him, who was the benefactor. That may have been the reason. I want to know more about it. I've heard about Jesus. I too am a follower, but I want to know more. Or it could have been the other way around. Luke might have said, hey, Theophilus, Theo, all these things that we've heard about Jesus, I want to know more. Why? Because remember, he's a doctor. This is a guy who goes through the scientific method of investigation. I want to be thorough about these things. And so he goes about doing his own investigation, which is one of the reasons why we find the Gospel of Luke as being one of the most detailed out of the other Gospels. There's information that you find in the Gospel of Luke that you don't find in other Gospels. And he goes about very succinctly and very detailed way of revealing a lot of the background that Jesus went through. So he says he goes about it and investigates. That may have been the reason. But why was he doing this? He says in verse 4, "So that you may know the certainty of things you have been taught." I want to do this to be sure that the information that we're getting is one that is valid, is one that is correct. Yes, it's common knowledge, but I want to be sure that all these sources as well are the same. Now, what's interesting about this is that it is done while a lot of people were still alive. You say, what is so important about knowing this yourselves? Since there were already other letters that were being passed around, other biographies that were written by other gospel writers, why does Luke have to write his own as well? Again, most likely for the benefit of Theophilus and probably for himself as well. But what does it benefit us today? Knowledge and understanding is important for us so that we can personally know the truth. It was important, obviously, for Luke and for Theophilus to have a first-hand account, first-hand knowledge, information, that everything that they've been hearing, the teachings, the life of Jesus, what was being said, could be validated. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because if you personally know the truth, it's hard to argue with you. Am I right? If you personally have experienced it, you've done the job, you've done the research, it's hard to dissuade you from unbelief. So you can't just say, because that's what the teacher said, because that's what my mom said. If you're in university, you can't give that kind of an answer, right? If you're writing a thesis and you're standing to defend a thesis, you can't give that kind of an answer. No, it has to be based on particular proofs. It will personally help us know the truth when we go about investigating it for ourselves. We have actually a responsibility to do this. Having knowledge and understanding at the same time helps us filter fake news. It helps us to discern what is true and what is not true. In this day and age, did you know that a lot of people depend on their truth on social media? How many of you guys do that? When you wake up in the morning, that's the first thing you open. Twitter, Facebook. Because if you don't find it on social media, it must not be true. There are people who actually live that kind of life today. Right? You say, oh yeah, I went to church today. We had an amazing time. Really? I didn't see anything on social media. Are you telling the truth? Right? And they would wonder, why? Why? Because it's not on social media. My dad, and I'm sharing this with permission as an illustration, before, you know, social media was ever invented, I really believe it was created for him. He likes taking photos before social media came. So, you know, he would take photos. We would get those photos printed. When the smartphone was invented, I really believe it was invented for him. When social media came out, yes, you could tell very much that that was there. Because there were regular updates and photos that were being shared more than those in Gen X, Millennials, Gen Y. I mean, it will put you to shame. And so there were days when sometimes you will not see a post from my dad. And the immediate reaction of people were, is Pastor Abe okay? Is he sick? Did something happen to him? Why? Because there's nothing on social media. There must be something wrong. And you know what? If it's not there, if that becomes the basis of our truth, then we're in trouble. And we find out later on, he posts something at night or just not a single post. Okay. The world is fine. Everything is okay because Pastor Abe has posted for the day. It's sad that for many people, that has become the basis of their truth today. That if it's not found on social media, then I'm probably not going to believe it. It's important for us to search beyond social media, to look beyond what we see, to actually take time to open our own Bibles. I want to encourage you today, when you get home, don't take my word for what you're hearing today. Go home, open your Bible, whether it's electronic or a physical Bible, and read for yourself. Is what Pastor Chad's saying actually in the Bible, or is he making this all up? Why? Because this will enable us and equip us to discern and to know right doctrine from false doctrine. So let's do that, right? Knowledge and understanding of the truths that we're hearing about Jesus Christ need to be revealed as found, as revealed in His Word. At the same time, finally, number three, you know, knowledge and understanding of this can strengthen our faith, as we stated in the beginning. For Theophilus and for Luke, obviously, this was very important to them. They have come to faith in Jesus, but they were outsiders. Now they were saying, hey, it's important for us to know a bit more. Whether it was Theophilus who initiated it or Luke who initiated it, the point was they went about helping one another get more information to confirm and assess the truth that they heard was actually, in fact, true and not fake news. And one of the biggest indications here is that Luke was able to access not just documents. Scholars tell us that most likely the book of Matthew was already written at this time. The book of Mark was probably written at this time. And Luke probably sourced those materials. But aside from that, there were living eyewitnesses. They were still around who saw, who heard Jesus teach, die, resurrect. He mentions that. He says there's common knowledge about Jesus that were fulfilled, all those prophecies that were done, but at the same time, there were eyewitnesses. And so I went about a careful investigation through all these things. And the court of law would tell you that an eyewitness account is one of the strongest evidences that you will have to present as a testimony. Because it is somebody who personally saw themselves with their own eyes. It wasn't, you know, I heard this, and so this is what I said. The judge may not believe that. You know, if you say, it's kind of like, this is what I heard. This is the gossip. No. But if you say, this is what I saw, I witnessed it. I saw it personally, myself, an eyewitness account. Then the judge would consider that more strongly. Why? Because you are putting your reputation based on your testimony. You are saying, here it is, my name, my reputation, and I'm willing to say, this is what I saw, this is what I witnessed. These were the sources that Luke had. So it was a very convincing group of people and sources that he had access to in the first century. This is very important for us today. It's important for us to get to know down to the facts that, hey, these things are valid. Why? Because it boosts, it strengthens, it bolsters the faith that we have when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. I follow Jesus not because, yes, my parents said so, not because I was born in a Christian family. It's because I myself have personally encountered Christ. Now, you may say that's subjective. I have no proof that you encountered Christ. But at the same time, because of the evidence that I see through scriptures, through eyewitness accounts who were willing to lay down their own lives, even at the threat of death, and some of them even dying for it, tells me that this is definitely truth that I need to hold on to, and it strengthens my faith because of that. The writer of Hebrews writes this. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You know, when we passionately pursue God, an understanding of Jesus, knowing Him, you know what the reward is? The reward is faith, an increase of faith. The reward is we experience Him in greater and more meaningful ways in this life. The more we were informed about coronavirus, the more careful we became, right? We started to actually see evidence and we said, okay, there's probably truth in what the scientists and the doctors are saying. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start wearing masks. I'm going to start washing my hands because there is now strong evidence for that reality. For the life of Jesus, for Dr. Luke, there was undeniable evidence that he found. That's the reason why he was so detailed in writing it down. He was bold enough to mention historical people in his account that could be verified, that could actually be put to shame if it wasn't true. But no, he was willing to put his reputation as a doctor on the line by quoting individuals, by writing down their names. These were the people who saw it. This was the governor. This was the king. This was the emperor that was in position when all these things happened. They were eyewitnesses. I spoke to them. I read the manuscripts. I researched it myself. And so now, Theo, here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. The question for us today, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what do we do with the evidence that we have? What do we do with the evidence that has already been presented to us? Because the hard work has been done. Lives have been given up so that we could have the evidence that we have today. But do we actually take time to research? Do we take time to read? Do we take time to say, Holy Spirit, would you help me get an understanding of this? Because aside from the letter, we need to know the person behind the letter. Jesus is the Logos. John said, He is the Word, and the Word became life and lived among us. We need to know the man behind the Word, and that's Jesus. That's the reason why we have the Gospels today, to reveal to us who Jesus is. And I pray that for each of us who are followers of Christ, we would be careful. We would take time not just to receive what we hear, but to personally dive in and say, Lord, help me to know you more. Help me to get a better understanding of who you are, not just to believe what I'm hearing, but to have a personal encounter with you. Because I believe if we have a desire to do that, we will experience what Theophilus experienced. We will experience what Luke experienced. We will experience what so many non-Jewish believers experience from the first century up to today. Not simply because of the evidence that's there, but because Jesus will reveal himself to us. He says, you will find me when you seek me. If you seek me with all your heart. See, God wants to be known. He's not hiding somewhere. We don't have to go up to a mountain. We don't have to wait on Sunday to experience Him. Right where you are, in your homes, in your rooms, as you're listening to this stream, in this room right here at Greenfield, we can encounter the presence of God and get to know Jesus. Why? Because He wants to be known. He wants to be known. But at the same time, we have the tools to know Him. The Word of God. The testimony of eyewitnesses who lived, who died, who gave up their life so that we could receive the message today that Jesus really was. We pray that in the next couple of weeks, we would have a greater understanding, a deeper understanding of what it took so that we could experience Jesus today, every day in our life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.